while back, I was sharing some information with you from Pew Research in regards to America's Muslims, and we were hearing from them, and largely because America's Muslims have been facing so many challenges when it comes to being accepted. The good news is a lot of people have been accepting America's Muslims, embracing them, just as we embrace anyone else who's an American citizen. But definitely, people of color in general, and American Muslims included, do have challenges when it comes to being embraced. And so I want us to revisit that whole discussion, hear more about what was learned about what the American Muslims have to say about life in America. You're listening to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr., and I am your loyal host, Carl Thornton Jr., ready to go ahead and bring more of this information to us. We're listening to, we're picking up on what some of the American Muslims, remember now, citizens, they are Muslims, but they are American Muslims, citizens of America. And we're hearing what they have to say about life in America. One of the things that I think that will help us with this discussion is, remember, we have a lot of people in America who have challenges living as Americans. And it's not just people of color. Remember, one of the reasons that Donald Trump won the 2016 election is because we have so many white Americans who are having so many frustrating years of frustration in their lives, that in anger and hostility, they scapegoated as they voiced the reasons that they were voting for, supporting Donald Trump. And think about it. Those same people still support him to this day. Despite anything and everything, they still support him staunchly. Not just people of color, not just American Muslims, not just American black people. Americans are facing tough times. White Americans aren't, fortunately, don't know the experience of being accepted, but have troubles nevertheless. Can you imagine living with policies that make life difficult for you financially, so that it's hard for you as an individual to do well? It's hard for you to help your family as a group do well. And in addition to that, in addition to the ongoing financial pressures, you also have ongoing pressure just being accepted. Not because you've done anything to anyone, but because of the color of your skin. Because there are so many people who hate you because of the color of your skin. Some people hate because it's important to them to look down on and be malicious towards people of other religions. But how many people do we have right here in America who claim to be imitators of Christ Jesus, but whose lives, whose decisions, whose attitudes more closely resemble Christ Jesus' arch enemy? So we really find that there is no justification for hating people, hating them because of their religion, hating them because of their ethnicity. None of that is acceptable to our Creator, to God, the Creator of us all. And so I share all of this so that hopefully, again, we can listen with compassion, We can think with compassion. We'll be willing to reason with compassion. Again, with soft hearts instead of stony hearts. With hearts that are ready to embrace. Hearts and minds ready to just learn about the people, whoever the people are. Black people and other people of color, embracing white people. Especially, not only, but especially the many, many, many white people who strive so hard to do their part, whatever that part is, to make life better for all people, including all peoples of color. It may be a matter of a high school student encouraging his or her peers to embrace this other student, their fellow student, regardless of that fellow student's ethnicity. Just embrace, accept, include. Whatever we can do, so many people doing what they can to make life better. And sometimes, just by accepting other people, genuinely accepting them, inviting them when we invite the others, can go a long way towards making life better. Just by empowering the person to go home saying, I've been accepted. I'm being embraced. Not necessarily by everyone, because we're not all going to like everyone. We're not all going to embrace everyone. But knowing that someone is embracing can make a huge difference. So I'm hoping that when it comes to the human factor, that we will allow humanity to take priority over ethnicity and religion. I'm not saying that we all embrace each other's religions. I'm saying we embrace each other's humanity, humanness, so that we care about each other. Listening to some of the American Muslims talk about what life is like for them in America. This is a 30-year-old Muslim man who says that he sees some immigrants, and not just Muslims, they could be Latinos too, who don't adapt well to their new country and don't want to be a part of American society. They stick with others like themselves because they're afraid and feel strange here. He says, but that's not him. He says he is completely American and he feels at home here. He said that when he first came here, he went to high school and that helped him to become more fully American and to adapt to the culture. He said he feels like he has a lot in common with the people he meets and knows here, and he feels completely comfortable here. He said when you arrive in America as an immigrant, you have to let your past go or else you won't be able to become a part of your new country. What are your thoughts about that? Would you say that it's necessary to completely let go of the past in order to adapt and adjust to the new environment, the new country? Or are there aspects of the past that you can hold on to while still adjusting to your new home, your new country, and still adjust well? I'm asking you, what are your thoughts about that? Here's a Muslim man under 30. He says that he'd say it's been increasingly difficult to live in America. You almost get that post 9/11 atmosphere in the United States. Of course, we know 9/11 is when the towers were brought down in New York. Even though our president, vice president, had been told that an attack was imminent, they would not do anything to prevent it. And the towers came down. And this man under 30, this Muslim man under 30, says you almost get that post 9/11 atmosphere in the U.S. because of the suppression, really, of minorities and minorities' thoughts and voices. People like the alt-right or ultra-conservative Trump supporters now have a larger voice that was suppressed just years ago. and now they're really allowed to make heard what they think about Muslims and minorities in general. So it's a lot of tensions that have been rising and fears that we're going backward. Regardless of your ethnicity, when you look at where we were 20 years ago, you look at where we were before 9/11, look at where we were 5 years ago, look at where we are now. Would you agree or disagree that we're going backward with regards to the building of relationships in America? Muslims represent a relatively small but rapidly growing portion of the U.S. religious landscape. Pew Research Center estimates that there are 3.45 million Muslims of all ages living in the U.S., and that's up from about 2.75 million in 2011 and 2.35 million in 2007. This means Muslims currently make up roughly 1.1% of the U.S. population. Muslim Americans are largely an immigrant population. 58% of U.S. Muslims are 18 and over, who are 18 and over, were born outside the U.S., with origins spread throughout the world. The most common region of origin for Muslim immigrants is what part of the world? A lot of you saying Middle East. Okay. That's probably what I would have thought. But check this out. Their findings reveal that the most common region of origin for Muslim immigrants is South Asia, where 1 in 5 U.S. Muslims were born, including 9% who were born in Pakistan. I think that's one of the things that we'll have to really get to the point of wrapping our minds around, that not all of the countries that we would identify as being part of the Middle East are actually part of the Middle East. An additional 13% of U.S. Muslims were born elsewhere in the Asia-Pacific region, including Iran, 14% in the Middle East or North Africa, and 5% in Sub-Saharan Africa. Due in no small part to their wide range of geographic origins, U.S. Muslims are a racially and ethnically diverse population. How many of you would have thought that all U.S. Muslims were of the same race, the same ethnicity? I mean, think about it. Are all white Americans of the same ethnicity? Are all black Americans of the same ethnicity? And of course, the answer to both questions is no. No different for U.S. Muslims. No single racial group forms a majority within the U.S. Muslim population, with about 41% of Muslim adults identifying as white, including Arabs and people of Middle Eastern ancestry. 28% identify as Asian, including people of Pakistani or Indian descent, and 1 in 5 identify as black or African American. The data also show that Muslim Americans are a very young group. Most Muslim adults, 60%, are under the age of 40. By comparison, just 38% of the U.S. adult population as a whole is younger than 40. 31% of Muslims are college graduates, which is on par with the share of U.S. adults as a whole who have completed college. But Muslim immigrants are, on average, more highly educated than both U.S.-born Muslims and the U.S. public as a whole. Muslim immigrants are, on average, more highly educated than U.S.-born Muslims and the U.S. public as a whole. The diversity of Muslims in the U.S. extends to religious beliefs and religious practices as well. While nearly all Muslims say that they are proud to be Muslim, they are not of one mind about what is essential to being Muslim, and the levels of religious practice vary widely. Now again, just in case some are tempted to think, oh wow, They can't even get it together when it comes to their religion. When it comes to Christianity, how homogeneous are American Christians? We have so many American Christians who are convinced that it really is a good thing to support politicians who push policies that are oppressive to the middle class and to the poor. But you also have American Christians who find those kinds of policies objectionable. So many American, quote-unquote, Christians who really applaud pushing policies that are financially oppressive, while other American Christians say this goes against what Scripture teaches. And on we could go. It's not just Muslims who are not of one mind about what makes a Muslim. What is Islam really about? Christianity has divisions as well. So let's continue to listen with an open mind, open heart, about what's happening with American Muslims. Remember, these are American citizens who are Muslims instead of being Buddhists or Sikhs or New Agers or Christians or any other religion. 64% of you of Muslims say that there's more than one true way to interpret Islam. 64% of U.S. Muslims say that there's more than one true way to interpret Islam. They're also more likely to say traditional understandings of Islam need to be reinterpreted in light of modern contexts. 52% say that traditional understandings of Islam need to be reinterpreted in light of modern contexts. How many people who embrace the label Christianity also say Christianity needs to change in order to keep up with the times, in order to fit into a modern context? 52% of Muslims say that. 38% of Muslims say that traditional understandings are all that is needed. 38%. Let's hear some more from America's Muslims in just a few.